Hey, good morning again. Isn't this a beautiful place? You know, as the fog's lifting and we can see the far bank of the river, I can start to see the sun peeking through the clouds out here, and it's just surrounded by the beauty, the gift that God has given us in nature. You know, Jesus, when he was on earth, he would sometimes teach down by the sea, by the water. And some of the reason was because water actually carries sound. It acts as an amplifier almost, that he could teach to a lot more people because the sound would be carried of his voice. But I think some of it was also just the beauty of the surroundings. You know, sometimes God speaks to us as much through this gift of nature as he does through any words that we can say. So this morning, as we're listening to God's word, I hope that you'll be hearing his word to you, not just through the words that I speak, but also through the surroundings, this gift of the beauty that he has put us in the middle of in this world, this treasure that he has surrounded us with in nature, in life, in the friendship and companionship of the people of God. So let's listen to God's word together. You know, if I were to ask you to think of a superhero, what picture would come to your mind? Maybe it would be a cape of some sort. Maybe it would be a mask. Definitely a spandex suit. Bright colors, you know, bold, because that's how superheroes do. That's how they live. That's how they roll. They're out there. But you know, superheroes also, they all have this other part, this other identity, this alter ego. It's that ordinary person. It just kind of blends in with the crowd. For Superman, it was Clark Kent. For Batman, it was Bruce Wayne. For Wonder Woman, it was this army nurse. Her name was Diane Prince. And they all have this alter ego so that they can just kind of be hidden. It's the same superhero. They have the same superpowers, but they're just hidden in plain sight. They're walking around wearing plain clothes. You know, Matthew 13:44, it says, God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is like a treasure, but is buried in a field. There's a part of it that kind of has this alter ego. It's still the treasure of God, God's kingdom, his power, this amazing glory and beauty of God, but it's sometimes hidden in plain sight. It's just walking around in plain clothes and living out through ordinary lives like yours and like mine. This summer, we've really worked hard. We've put some stuff together. We're really excited about it. It's something really cool for you to participate in. As we together start looking for and start this search, this journey to find the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, this treasure that God has buried in this field, this kingdom that's found in ordinary life. So what is this kingdom of heaven? What is this kingdom of God? And the reason that Matthew uses the phrase kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God is he's showing the respect that he had for God's name. And so the Jewish people, they used to refer to it as the kingdom of heaven so they could avoid even speaking that name that they had so much respect and honor for. But what is this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven? Well, the kingdom of heaven is anywhere that God is king, anywhere where his rule is respected, where his name is honored, where his ways are supported, anywhere where his character is seen as like the highest achievement that we could reach, anywhere where his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And because his will is done, the kingdom of heaven, it's where the power of God, the promises of God, they become manifested in the lives. They become readily seen in the lives of the people that are a part of his kingdom. It's where the words of God's promises and the words of his blessings and the promise of his power, where they become a reality in our lives. That is the kingdom of heaven. So this isn't just about a geographical place that we call a kingdom. This is a kingdom that expands one heart at a time, as it takes hold of our lives, as we set aside our desire to be our own kings, to rule our own lives, and instead we give our lives, we submit our will and our lives to God as our king, as our leader, as our provider. Now, often we think of the kingdom of heaven. We think of the kingdom of God. We think of it as these great spectacular events that happen. Miracles, or angels showing up and just blowing us away, or visions from the sky, or voices that come down from heaven. And we think of these things, but in his message to us that he gave to us in the Bible, God says that most often his kingdom comes in plain clothes. His kingdom comes to us in that kind of hidden way, in hidden in plain sight, same kingdom, but coming through in everyday life. It's kind of like that superhero. Same kingdom, same power, same glory, God's glory, just hidden, like a treasure that's buried in a field. So as we begin this journey to find the kingdom of God, this is where we need to start right here. We need to start by thinking about, what does it mean to live out the kingdom of heaven in just ordinary life, in everyday plain clothes? Now, this morning we started by reading a couple of verses out of Proverbs 3. It was verse 13 through 15. And in these verses it says that wisdom and understanding, these things are better than gold, better than silver, better than precious stones. So these things are better than any treasure that we might find buried in this field that's out in front of me here. It's better than any treasure that we might find on this earth. Well, that sounds like kingdom talk, doesn't it? Something that's better than gold and silver, that sounds like the kingdom of God. So it looks like we're on the right track. So let's dig a little further. Well, in the Bible, the word wisdom is a Hebrew word, is chokmah. Chokmah. And it's a word it's about how we live. It's not just about how we think. We think of wisdom as how we think things through, how we put the pieces together. But in Scripture, it wasn't just that. It was how you put it together, but then how do you live it out? How does it come through your life? So it's about our actions. It's not just about our theology. It's about our lifestyle and the ways that we do things and the ways we interact with others, not just what we think about who God is. In fact, in James 2:19, it says, you know, you believe that God is the only God? That's great. But the demons believe that too, and they shudder. The implication there is that, you know, the demons have the right thoughts. They have the right pieces put together. They just don't follow through with any action. They don't live out the chokmah of God, the wisdom of God. So in searching for the kingdom of God, one of the important questions that we need to ask ourselves is, am I living that life that really shows the intention and the purposes of God? Am I living out the chokmah, the wisdom of God? Am I living my life the way that God intended, according to his wisdom, the way that he designed that life to be lived? Am I living my life in alignment with God and his thoughts? In fact, in alignment with how this whole universe was put together to work and to function well. Because he says, if we will do that, if we will live by this wisdom, that his power and his blessings and his promises, his glory will become seen through our lives. That it will come through, his kingdom will be made evident even in our normal, everyday lives. The kingdom of heaven, hidden in plain sight, walking around in plain clothes. So what does God's wisdom look like? If we're going to live our lives by this wisdom, we need to know what this is. Well, to find out what God's wisdom is, let's look at some of these other verses in Proverbs 3, the verses that came before 13 through 15. So listen to verse 1 and 2. It says, my child, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep, protect, hold my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. God says that living life the way he tells us to can actually add years to our life, can add hours to our day, can add peace in the midst of all of it. And we say, well, how is that possible? How is that true? Well, you look back in the Old Testament, many of the commandments that God gave his people were about, for instance, things, what they should eat. Well, we even know that what you eat can determine how healthy you are. If you eat right, you will live longer. You will have longer, you'll have years added to your life. You'll be healthier. Well, we say, well, that seems rather ordinary. What does that have to do with the power of the kingdom of heaven? Well, that is the kingdom of heaven. It's just in plain clothes. It's the blessing of God that comes through ordinary life. And this is one of the places that we find this treasure of the kingdom of heaven. We find it in everyday living. God's blessing is this: eat right, be healthy, live long. It's a promise of God. Other commands, they were about relationships. And even we know that if we are connected to other people in emotionally healthy ways, we're going to experience more personal peace, satisfaction in our lives. That is a promise of the kingdom of God. And the lack of relational stress, that's actually healthier for us. That actually helps us live longer as well. This is the kingdom of God. It's just in plain clothes. It's walking around in our normal life. And what about some of those other commandments? Those, you know, the big 10, the 10 commandments. You know, don't kill people. Don't steal from each other. Don't sleep with each other's spouses. Don't lie to each other every time you turn around. Well, you know, we all know this too. We're going to live longer. We're going to live more peacefully if we're not running around killing each other. If we're not robbing each other, if we're not destroying each other's primary relationships, that marriage relationship, or if we're not tearing that apart through adultery, if we're not lying to each other every time we turn around. God's promises, God's intended blessings for our lives are available, and we will see them. And when we see them, we see the kingdom. We see what he intended for us all along, his blessing made manifest in our lives, but in this kind of hidden way, in very plain clothing, in plain sight. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, do not let kindness or truth leave you. Bind them around your neck like a necklace. Carve them into the tablet of your heart so that they're not just writing them on a sticky note and putting them on the fridge. It says, embed them in the deepest part of you. In that way, you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God, but also in the sight of others. Kindness and truth. Truth being that word that we found really means something like faithfulness or integrity, where people trust what you say because what you say always lines up with what you do. God says if you will consistently be kind to others and you will be trustworthy in what you say, that you will have a good reputation with other people. You will have favor with them. Man, I tell you what, if we need to hear a word from God, it's that one right now, isn't it? Kindness and truth. Be kind to each other. Be honest in what you're saying about one another and to one another. Look out for one another relentlessly, faithfully. But again, we look at that and we say, well, that's obvious. Of course, if we're kind and we're truthful to each other, we're going to get along better. We're going to have a good reputation. But did you hear the other part of that verse? Those verses, it says favor and good reputation with God. With God comes from living that way. And not just being kind or truthful in our words to him, but if we live kind and truthfully towards each other, that we have favor with God, that his favor rests on us, that we begin to see his favor released in our lives, and the power of the kingdom of heaven begins to show up in everyday living. And it goes on. Proverbs 3 then talks about it. It says, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Instead, lean on His understanding about things, His perspective, because it will make for you a clearer path in front of you. It will make for you a smoother path in your life. It says, turn away from causing trouble in the lives of others, because in that you will actually find your own healing and this refreshment, this deep refreshment in your lives. It says, you know, invest in your life, install in your life, work into your life the discipline of giving to God a tenth of all of what you earn, of what comes into you. This thing called the tithe, this thing that the Bible clearly teaches is God's part. It's the part that God gave to us so that we would have something to give back to Him as a way to say thank you, as a way to invest in the lives of others and participate with Him in the work that He, in the good and the kindness that He's doing in the lives of others. So He says, invest in, work into your life this discipline of tithing. And if you do that, then it frees Him up. It frees Him up to actually release His blessing towards your success. Towards your success and beyond your even your imagination of what you imagined your success would be. So it says that the barns that you built to hold the crop that you expected to come in, they're going to be bursting at the seams. The wine vat that you dug out because of how much room that you thought you needed in order to make the product from what God has blessed you with, it's going to be overflowing. And then finally, it says, and then finally, you know, in those hard times, lean into God. Don't run away from Him. Don't curse Him. Don't shake your fist up into heaven. But lean into God, because He says in those times, that's when we learn. That's when we learn beyond a shadow of a doubt, when we become convinced of, and we begin to see very clearly that God, He's our Father. He's the one that's walking with us through those hard times. He's the one that loves us and holds us and protects us and walks with us and walks all the way through with us. He's the one that loves us beyond anything we can imagine. You guys, this is where the Chokmah of God, the wisdom of God, is found. God's kingdom in plain clothes. God's kingdom in everyday life. And that's just Proverbs 3. I mean, the whole book of Proverbs is filled with this kind of wisdom. And then you go to the book of James, and the whole book of James in the New Testament is filled with this wisdom of God, living out the kingdom in plain clothes. Matthew 5 through 7, that section called the Sermon on the Mount, we find that it's packed with the instructions of how to live out this wisdom, this Chokmah of God. And God says that if we will follow this, if we'll follow this wisdom, His kingdom in everyday life, we will see His power poured out in us, His power poured out into our lives, His power poured out through us, touching other people, changing their lives, blessing their lives as well. And we will be seen, and we will see that our lives have become what the Bible calls blessed. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, it says, blessed is the one who doesn't follow the advice of the wicked. Blessed is the one who doesn't join those who choose activities opposed to God's interest, God's intentions. Blessed is the one who doesn't sit down to learn the perspectives of those who scoff at God and scoff at His ways. Instead, this one's delight is in the wisdom of the law of the Lord. The wisdom of the rules and the framework that He put up around this whole universe. And in that law, this one, he or she meditates, thinks about, ponders day and night. This one will be like a tree that's planted by a river of water that brings forth a whole crop of fruit in its season, even whose leaf doesn't wither or dry out. And in whatever he or she does, this one will prosper. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven in ordinary clothes, living out in plain sight, hidden in plain sight. That's the power of God at work in everyday life. That's the blessing of God, not showing off in some supernatural burst that overrules, it just overwhelms the normal ways that things usually go. Instead, that's the blessing of God woven into the way that this universe works, the way it was intended to work from the very beginning. So as we go hunting for this treasure called the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, let's make sure that we don't miss that kingdom that's buried in the field, that kingdom that is looking pretty ordinary, but in fact is actually filled with the power, the blessing, the promises of God. So how do we do this? How do we do this just in real terms? What does this look like? What is the kingdom of heaven in real life? What does that look like? Well, first, I want to encourage you, you know, to find this kingdom, just do the obvious. Just do what we know how to do, what this obvious. We're living in the midst of this time of upheaval in our culture, in our lives, in our world, in the ways we normally do things, in our economy. We're facing this huge upheaval. So God says, if you want to find the kingdom of heaven in the midst of the mess that's all around us, that's all around you, live out the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of this world. So be kind to each other instead of so dang snarky. Not just towards people you know, but sometimes towards people you don't even know. Be really careful. Way more careful about the words or the memes that you're posting on Facebook. I mean, who are we to malign or to curse individuals for whom Jesus died just because we don't agree with their politics? That's not the wisdom of God in action. That is not the kingdom of God showing itself in everyday life. Don't change positions based on who you're with. Don't be like a chameleon that just kind of blends in with whoever's around you. Instead, learn how to be those who do what's right, who stand for what is just, for what's merciful. You know, don't buy into that lie that says that being mean and violent in your words and in your action is what will get you ahead in this world. Instead, we should be looking to Jesus and saying, "What? How can I follow his example better? The one who said he would rather lay down his life for us than protect his own life against us and at a cost to us. Let's do that. Let's start reading Proverbs 3 and Matthew 5 through 7 and James, the whole book of James. Let's learn to do that. Let's learn how to live out the wisdom of God. Because if we will learn how to live the wisdom of God, that Chokmah of God, it says that we will find that the favor of God is resting on our lives, that we will find that kingdom of God hidden in plain sight, living out in plain clothes. Second thing is this. You know, this summer, we're going to be providing resources for you online. These are resources that we hope will be fun for you. It gives you a chance to gather with family or with friends and or even to invite your neighbors, just people around you to participate and to be a part of kind of a conversation and activities that will help us what it means to discover the kingdom of heaven, but in plain clothes. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure buried in a field. So today when you go home, and get onto our website at cccov.org. That's Christ Church Covenant, cccov.org. And download some of the resources that are on there for the month of June. These are things like treasure hunts to go on to see how God has surrounded us with treasure. We're not losing stuff. We're surrounded by his blessing. And so to go out and to actually capture those things, they're times for discussion guides, for us to have like a movie night together and to enjoy the film, but then to have a conversation afterwards and to mine out of that movie even some of the things, the messages that movie tells us, that just remind us of the things that God has told us about. What does it mean to live out his kingdom, to be a part of his kingdom? There's also there's resources and opportunities to share the wealth. We're calling it our share the wealth kind of outreach opportunities. Ways to share the things that God is doing and showing you and share that wealth with others so that they begin to also see just this blessing, this treasure that God has made available to them as well. You know, go online and download this pass book where you can check off these activities as you go along and you get them done. Start checking off these activities. So at the end of the summer, we can all get together and we can have this big kingdom party where we can just tell the stories about the amazing ways that God began to show himself in our lives and through our lives, began to show that he was showing up. His kingdom was showing up even in our ordinary lives. Because the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field. And the one who finds it, they cover it up again. But they go out and they sell everything they have. They sell everything. They let go of everything else so that they can purchase that field, so that they can obtain that treasure. Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for that treasure that not only surrounds us, but Father, it's within our reach. Sometimes we think that the relationship with you is so far away. We think that living in this glory of your kingdom is so far beyond us, but you have said the place that shows up best is in the everyday lives that we live with you. So Father, work that kingdom in us and through us. Let your power and your glory, your promises, your words be seen in our lives, through our lives, and spill out of our lives to the world around us. Father, guide us through your Spirit in this journey we go on to hunt for, to seek for, and to find that kingdom, that treasure that's buried in that field. We pray that through that, Father, you would be glorified. That through that, the name of Jesus would be lifted up and many would be drawn into this kingdom, into this relationship with you. We pray these things and we know that they're only possible through the power of your Spirit as he works in and through us. In your name, amen.